This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This is your official Iyarorama spoiler warning. If you don't want to know what happens on episode 8, season 12 of ER, what the fuck is it? Like, you've taken the whole spoiler thing too far.
Too far.
I got a thing to tell you about spoilers. I'll tell you in the episode, Mish. And B, this is your spoiler warning. Otherwise, enjoy Mission Zach's Iyarorama.
Peace. I hate the word.
Everyone, and welcome to Dr. Mish and Dr. Zach's Iyarorama. This is a podcast where each week we watch ER, we report back on it.
But only a very
little bit of a twist.
ER.
The twist between this podcast and other ER-based podcasts is we only talk about the John Leguizamo episodes.
Yeah.
Because we're big Johnny Leg fans. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from getting my tonsils removed in a hospital. Good. When I've had a couple of times in a hospital, so you're going to hear about all of them during the Iyarorama period. I got my tonsils removed when I was in year 5. So I would have been 11. I'm joined as always by my medical marvel friend, Zachary Ruane, who you might know from
Having croup once.
Yeah.
Is that like croup where you can't breathe?
Yeah.
I remember waking up one night and I couldn't breathe.
That's petrifying.
Yeah. And then I went to the hospital and they had a computer there because I didn't have a computer in my house when I was that old.
Mm.
And on that computer was a program where you could like color in pictures, and all it was you would like pick the bit of the picture and then choose the colour. And that was the entire program. And I just thought that was the fucking bee's knees.
You know the paint part of a computer when you go into paint?
Yeah.
That. I used to spend so much time on paint when we got a computer as a kid.
Oh, how cool are computers? I also learnt the term master then because, like, on my form, my parents, like, it was like, you know, Mr., Mrs., Miss, Master, and Master being like what a boy would be, master, you know, like Master Bruce.
Yeah.
That's what they call Bruce.
What's the
Wayne.
Female equivalent of a master?
Maybe Madam? It's Miss. Is it? No, Miss is more.
Oh, Master as in like Master Zachary. It's time for tea.
Master is what you call a little boy.
Yes.
Instead of Mister.
Yes.
But I don't know what the female equivalent is. Because is Miss, like, for children?
Mademoiselle?
No, that's
French. Very French, eh?
We're completely wrong. Master.
It's hard for me to focus because I just found a hair coming out of the mole on my cheek.
It's hard for me to focus because my fucking podcast co-host is picking at a fucking hair on their mole.
It's huge. Can you see how long that is?
Well, I couldn't, but I just, please stop. It's the most full-on thing I've ever seen in my life. You're just, like, yanking at it with a finger. Like,
I'm trying to pluck it. It won't come out.
You can't pluck it with your finger.
I'm sorry. Have I offended you?
It's just really full on. I can't explain why.
How is that full on?
It's not
is
the hair.
Is it because it's pulling the skin away from my face?
It's... Okay, so I think I'm, a bit funny about mole hair because I got a mole on my cheek.
Yes.
Right? And it gets long hairs, but they kind of blend in with my beard.
Is that
now.
A mole?
Yeah, that's a mole.
I always thought that was an ingrown that just never came out.
An ingrown?
Yeah.
What?
You can't tell it's a mole. It just looks like an ingrown.
What do you mean by an ingrown? Like, you thought that was a pimple?
Yeah.
That I just had for my entire life?
Yeah.
You don't have a pimple for your entire life.
I have an
life.
Ingrown on my ankle. Look at this. See that?
Yeah.
That's an ingrown that's been there for like 10 years.
Go to a doctor.
I can't be fucked.
You gotta get that removed.
I've just shown Zach a lump I have on my ankle. Why? It doesn't hurt. It does nothing. Sometimes it itches.
Get it out.
I can't be bothered.
Get it out. I can't have you.
Yeah, you can't burst it either. You can't pop it. It's too like.
You need someone to go at that with a scalpel. You can film it, put it on TikTok.
You'll finally get
the numbers you've been dreaming of.
Yeah.
Mish, you gotta fucking deal with that. That's the most fucked thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's not that bad. It's quirky.
I can't handle. Things need to be excised from a body.
Okay.
I find satisfaction in things being plucked, but I find great discomfort in things existing in there. You need to get that removed if we're going to remain podcast
friends. It's on my to-do list.
So the issue is not with the hair and the mole, because that makes me a pig. Now, the issue is you were like yanking at it, but in a way that didn't appear like you were trying to remove the hair. It's just like you're pulling your mole. It's like you've like taken hold of your mole hair and you're just pulling at your mole.
No, I'm trying to yank it. It won't come out.
Yeah, you need tweezers. I'll lend you some tweezers. We're going to have a great time, but that's after this podcast.
Okay.
Deal?
Deal. How have you been?
If you touch that again, I'm going to fucking walk. You really like hit my like.
I'm not even joking. I never noticed that mole until like recently. And I thought it was a little ingrown. I really did.
It doesn't really look like a mole. It looks more like a freckle or a bump. Or, no, it is a little mole. And it has, if I were to leave the hair, and sometimes I do because it kind of just barely
just line,
looks
yeah.
like it's my beard. But it's a big, it can be a big hairy mole.
Do you have any birthmarks?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Me neither.
Mole hairs, I find mole hairs really confronting.
Really?
There's something about them.
Apparently, I was told, I don't know if this is an old wives' tale, but if you get hair growing out of them, it means they're not cancerous.
Is
that a thing?
I don't know. I've heard lots of things about hair. Like, I've heard that you shouldn't pluck it.
I've had pimples underneath this one on my
face.
Have
too.
You noticed this one before?
No.
You've
not
never
until
noticed
you
the mole
were
on my
pulling
face.
At it.
But it's quite predominant, really.
Yeah, but I've just never noticed.
I've
never noticed.
What are you? That's like saying that you never noticed I had a nose. This is big. This is like a proper birth, like this
but
is
it's
like a
like
beauty
I've
spot.
Never noticed it. Now, have I seen it? I'm sure I have, but have I noticed it? You're asking, have I noticed it? And no, if you were to ask me to describe you to a police sketch artist, I wouldn't have put a mole on your
face.
Well,
up until today, I would have described your face as having a fucking ingrown on it.
You're fucked, cunt. I'm joking. I was going to say something in the spoiler warning. Oh, I was watching a video. I came across a video on TikTok the other day where there was this guy, just this random dude, like talking about like story structure. And it was in a university. I don't know if it, like I don't know what his deal was, right? Mm-hmm. But he was at the front of a lecture hall and he was talking about story structure. And he was talking about twists. And he was saying how like there's two different kinds of twists. And one of the kinds of twists is where you like, anyway, there was a whole thing. It was a replacement twist.
Great.
It's like where you think one thing's going to happen and it's the same thing structurally, but it's a different person or it's a different thing. And he was saying how you can do it right and how you can do it wrong. He was like, basically you want, he was like, people get mad at replacement twists. People get mad at replacement twists, unless you make a subtle and clever effort to make the audience not want the thing that's about to happen. So he was like, if you're going to replace a character, if you're doing a romantic comedy and everyone thinks that these two people are going to get together, but in fact, at the end, they get the main character gets together with someone else. He was like, that's a replacement twist. And he's like, and I can't remember. I don't know how I absorbed all of this. This was just one of the thousands.
Like in The Wedding Singer?
The Wedding Singer?
Yeah.
No, they're meant to get together.
Oh, but it looks like she's going to end up with
Yeah, but no, more like...
That other guy.
He talked about while you were sleeping.
Oh, yeah, which I can't remember. Yeah, yeah.
But where you think it's going one way.
Oh, while you were sleeping is such a good movie.
Do you know a good... this is a different example, but I think the fact that... My Best Friend's Wedding also has a bit of a, you think it's going to go one way and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he was saying like, he was like, and what you want to do is you want the audience to start to feel uncomfortable with the expected path. You want them to start to go, no, 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 don't go there. So then when you bring in the replacement twist, it's a relief to them because mm-hmm. they think it. Anyway, I was like, that's all very interesting. And then he was like, the best example of this, in my opinion, is the film While You Were Sleeping.
Mm.
In a lecture hall, a film from 30 years ago, he says, where he's teaching story structure. So the people in the audience presumably want to learn how to write stories.
Yeah.
And someone goes, spoiler! And I don't think...
While You Were Sleeping. It is an excellent film, but I don't think anyone's like, man, I've been meaning to watch that. I don't want to know the surprise twist.
It's like, you gotta, like, if you want to learn how to do this, you gotta learn that you're gonna just have a few twists ruined.
Yeah, bad. And look, While You Were Sleeping, to me, didn't have the biggest twist. That was a fairly predictable twist.
But also, it's like, I feel like, that's just an example of spoiler culture gone. A frisson too far.
Yeah. Do you know an excellent twist in a movie?
Spoiler.
Have you seen Identity?
No, I haven't. And you know what?
I can't believe you haven't seen that movie.
Hi, I'd like me to introduce you to another one of my identities, Hypocrite, because I don't want you to spoil it.
I will not spoil it. You need to watch the movie.
But I think I know it. I think
no, but it is the kind of movie, and I don't think this is giving anything away that you think the twist has happened, but then the twist happens.
Ah, I love that. Well, yeah, it is giving something away.
But there's multiple twists. There's multiple twists in this.
I love a double twist.
Double twist.
Do you know what I hate? Sounds like I hate an ice a twist cream. That doesn't work.
Oh, have you yeah. ever seen no one
the
likes.
Film, have you ever seen the horror film High Tension?
Have you ever seen Righteous Kill?
Which one's Righteous Kill?
Maybe with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro and John Leguizamo. Yeah,
this changes nothing.
Yeah, it changed nothing.
But have you ever seen the film High Tension?
No.
So that's it might have a different name in, like, that might be one of its names. It's a French horror film, really full on. I remember watching High it when tension. I was a teenager and just being like, nah, this is a bit much. but it's also like one of the most intense horror films.
Oh my God, it looks so full on.
Yeah. It's also called Switchblade Romance.
A beautiful young French woman travels out to the country to visit her family and brings along her friend Marie. Soon after they get settled in the secluded home, Alex's parents are brutally attacked by a psychotic truck driver.
It's full on. It's very like, you know.
Does it have a good twist?
No, it has.
Why'd you bring this movie up?
Sorry,
that was so aggressive.
Because it has a bad twist, I think.
Oh.
It's a really incredibly intense film. It's one of the most, whether it's good or not, I haven't seen it in so long, right?
Mm.
It's like, you know how people talk about how fucked up Texas Chainsaw Massacre is?
Yes.
And then you watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre mm-hmm. and it's not as fucked up as people remember it. There's a couple of moments, but you actually don't see much. This is a movie that is as fucked up as people think Texas Chainsaw Massacre is. Like, you just see a lot of stuff. It's like, wah! But it's incredibly tense. And then the twist at the end, while you're watching it, is like, holy fuck.
Really?
I did not see that coming. That is the best twist ever. And then the movie finishes and you're like, oh my God, how did I not see that coming? And then you're like, oh, because they literally gave me no hints. And because there are moments in the film. Okay. There are moments in the film that it doesn't work. Like, there's this, like, it's like this twist that you're like, wait a second, how did that scene happen?
Mm.
How did that scene happen? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
I know exactly what you mean.
How did these...
Oh, I hate that. I'm trying to think if I can think of other examples.
Yeah. There's not... like, it's like one, it's just like, oh, it's such a shame because it's such a good film and it's such a good twist.
Is it scary?
The film?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called High Tension for a reason.
Yeah, how awful would it be if it was called High Tension and it was like a bit drab?
It is from, look, I haven't seen it in a very long time, but it is a very tense film. Like, it's very, it's like the whole film is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this fucking truck driver.
Do you know what movie had a shit twist? Grease.
What was the twist there? Like that she goes bad for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, very crook message.
Yeah, super crook, but also just a shit twist. Like,
also, everyone
like
thinks,
the reveal that, like, oh, now she's bad. It's like, all right, like, everyone that's what it took. Like,
that movie, if you were to ask most people what's the last song in Grease, they would say,
we go together.
Well, no, I reckon most people would say it's the
I got chills.
They're multiplying, because that's where it should end. It should be like, fuck. The end. That movie has the most incredible final song in I Got Chills, They're Multiplying. And then they're like, wow, the end. Shabba dabba doo pop 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 ba doo 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 ba doo. Let's get in a car and fly to the sky. Shabba dabba da pop pop, we go together.
I like Grease, don't get me wrong. Like, I do enjoy it. But without a doubt, one of the most underrated songs in that musical, no one ever talks about it, is Rizzo's There Are Worse Things I Could Do Than Go With a Boy or Two.
Do you know why I think I don't remember that song? Is because I have a distinct feeling that my sisters would fast forward it because it was the boring bit.
But it's not. It's this beautiful moment where you realize Rizzo, who's the mean, bitchy one, like basically says, like, I'm a damaged bitch.
Mm.
She might as well just be like, I'm a damaged little bitch.
I love Rizzo. I'm a damaged.
I wish that song was called I'm a damaged little bitch.
Yeah, I doubt they would call it that.
But to cry, and she basically says, like, I could, like, worse than, there are worse things I could do than the way I'm acting, and one of them is to cry and be vulnerable in front of you.
Wow, that's beautiful.
There are, like, to cry in front of you would be the worst thing I could do.
That's
That's so nice, isn't it? Stockard Channing was like 40 when that movie was
out. And do you know what I was going to say about Rizzo is she's up there with Dawson for, like, cunt's too old to play a teenager in the history.
Oh, big time.
In the annals of, like, cunt too old to play a teenager.
What about a Kaneki? Rizzo's,
oh, Kaneki.
He was like a old man.
Yeah. It's really full on. It's also like, have you noticed that Euphoria's, they're looking pretty old, but they look younger in Euphoria than they do on that.
It's why season one of Skins, I think, was so good, because the cast looked like 16-year-olds.
And the season through, like, they the way they recast
season one and two were particularly good, though.
Yeah, because they got a little, like, slicker.
Yeah,
season three Skins, you know, I don't want to say it because they're 16, but I was closer in age then. They were, like, a little more put together.
Yeah,
they had the, like, gangliness of teens in the first season.
I still stand by that the end of season two, that final scene. When it's to MGMT.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Incredible. It was
final,
so good.
The final.
Does Cassie and Sid find each other?
Do you know the season finale of season one, when they all start singing?
Oh. Anyway, we're here to talk about ER.
Yes, we are here to talk about ER. I should write a poem. But I didn't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I'll do my intro and then I guess we'll talk about ER.
Yeah.
I think my intro is a bit long, so I was...
That's okay.
Today we are discussing episode 8 of season 12 of ER, in which a plane crashes in the middle of fucking Chicago. The episode starts with Third Rock from the Sun going on holidays, leaving Velma from Scooby-Doo as the most senior nurse. Meanwhile, Bend It Like Beckham is doing a ride-along with Full House in his ambulance for I don't know what reason. Then a plane blows up in the sky and crashes right in the middle of Chicago, and everyone's like, oh, it's going to be busy. The rest of the episode cuts between the crash site and, obviously, the ER. At the ER, all hands are on deck. Liar Liar and Practical Magic come into work after just having sex, despite not having shifts that day. Legs is trying to set up triage out the front, despite Practical Magic being a bit of a cunt about it. Meanwhile, Velma asks Vax the lady she fired, and when Third Rock comes back, she's like, good job, Velma, you made the right call. At the crash site, Battle Rap host from 8 Mile goes there to help. And also, Bend It Like Beckham is there because she was with Ambulance, which is lucky, hey, that she did that on the day that the aeroplane crashed into them, hey. She goes into a burning building to save a kid, even though there's heaps of firefighters there that could do that better and heaps of dying people that need a doctor. Like a real know your strengths moment. Serena Williams plays Alice Watson, the distraught mother of the aforementioned boy. It is an intense role, and it's weird that it's Serena Williams, and that's what I will spend the rest of the episode talking about.
What about John? Who's John?
I see, my joke here
is that you did Serena Williams.
Normally, that's when I'd say John Leguizamo plays this part. He's at the triage. Legs is at the triage, and Practical Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Practical Magic just won't get off his back.
Practical Magic is being a real dick. I don't like Practical Magic in this at all.
But I think he's just... I think we've known Practical Magic for a while. I think I would be curious to hear your thoughts on Practical Magic after we go back to season one.
Maybe. In our personal lives. I'm to me, Practical Magic is McDreamy. Right? Mm. If we have to do a, you know, side by side.
Mm.
And I'm just not enjoying what the trajectory he's been on the last four episodes.
Yeah, and he's really going at...
And I'm really keen. I love Liar Liar.
Yeah.
I'm really liking what she's about.
And the thing is as well is there's a whole tone of like Johnny Legs and Third Rock from the Sun. They're like, I think, new, and they're like, we need to fucking fix this place up. Mm. They're still running like it's the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then Practical Magic, his position is like, you got to ingratiate yourself with the team. You've got to see how it is we do things before you like shake things up too much.
Mm.
It's a bit of a, you know, difference of opinion, but yeah, it's a lot of ego.
And, a lot of ego.
And one of them is Johnny Legs. So who are we going to go for?
Oh, Clemente. Team Johnny Legs. I'd like, Clemente. let us know in like over Instagram probably or Twitter, whatever. Are you Team Clemente or are you Team Practical Magic?
This interactive.
Because I'm interested to know if anyone, based on his, like, because I'm going to start watching ER, but I know I'm going to end at season six. I just know. I know me and I know that's what's going to happen.
Do you know
so I'm probably not going to deal with a lot of Practical Magic. And I want to know if Practical Magic is a liked character on ER.
Do you know what's going to happen for me? Is I'm going to start watching it with Annie, my partner, and then I'm going to go off to like Brisbane to do a show or two or something, and I'll come back and she'll be on season 11.
Mm.
I'll be like, well, you watched all the good ones.
Well, see, but it's nice that you can watch this with your partner because my partner and I watch stuff together. We're really into Drag Race. I've talked about that a lot. I've also gotten him into Survivor, which I really respect. And we also watch some documentaries from time to time. We watched The Tinder Swindler last night. It was very good. Keep in mind that this episode was recorded when the Tinder Swindler had only been out. Thing. It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Now everyone's probably over it.
Now everyone's watching The Whiz Banger.
The Whiz Banger.
I remember when I first met the Whiz Banger. I thought, this is the most charming man I've ever met. Little did I know his secret. The Whiz Banger.
What's the Whiz?
I just said Whiz Banger. Because those were the words that came out of my mouth.
It's good.
And then I thought I'd just keep riffing.
I don't know if I'd be able to convince my partner to watch ER with me. I don't know if it's for him. He's really into fucking NBA 2K at the moment.
Ugh.
I know. And I'm like, I could just go upstairs and watch ER in my office.
Mm.
But then I don't ever see my partner, Zach. I need coming to the podcast with this very personal advice.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't really help you. My Annie, I've just been a bit bullheaded, and I really want to watch more movies, so I've just been like, I basically say to Annie now, I'm like, my only request is that we watch a movie. You can choose it.
That's nice.
And then she chooses it. Do you tend to have the same? And I go, how about instead of that, we watch The Animatrix, and then we spend 2 hours.
Oh, fuck. I mean, no, like my partner and I watch similar things, but I know I really want to start ER. Once we've finished this ER-orama, I'm going to want to watch ER, and Annie, I just know that it's not going to be his thing.
Annie really, really, really likes the, like, if I watch a thing, I have to watch it, right? Annie really, really likes TV as background noise, so she really likes network television. She's been watching a show called New Amsterdam, which is just like...
It's a medical show.
It's like a contemporary medical show. It's yeah. Like, you know how last week we talked about all the good writers went to...
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is one they're making right now.
Yeah.
And it's good enough, but it's also like, it's weird for shows like that to still exist, you know? Anyway, and she quite likes that. So then I was like, well, if she likes this New Amsterdam show, surely she'll like ER.
Yeah. And like, she does, right? But
I was like, I have to like, just put it on.
Mm.
So I just put this episode on today. This was the one we watched together. Mm. I just like put it on. And I was like, do you mind if I put this on? And she was like, yeah, sure. And then like, yeah, it was like, I think at some point, I think it was at about the burning aeroplane in the middle of Chicago. She was like, hey, this is pretty good. And I was like, yes, that's 16 fucking seasons of television we can watch together.
Oh, that's so nice that you found that. I tried to watch X-Files, but I think the problem with X-Files is season one sets it up, which can be a bit tiresome. And I only got through like 4 or 5 episodes, but I was like, I'm a bit bored.
I love X-Files, but I think X-Files would have been a better show if it got made. Not now. I think if X-Files had been made 2000s.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if it had been an AMC show.
Did you ever watch Oz?
No, I never watched Oz.
Oz was great. And what really pissed me off was a friend of mine, said he wished that Oz had been made now or like a few years ago. And I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like Twin Peaks is a really good example.
I never watched that.
So I love it. I talk about it a lot. But Twin Peaks has this real, like people talk about how cinematic it is.
Mm-hmm.
But actually... Part of what's so special about it is how much it feels like a 90s show. It's like, it's very interesting and weird and beautifully shot and all of these like interesting things. Mm. But there's also a layer that it feels a bit like Dallas or a bit like there's just like it. It's kind of less like imagine the movies on the small screen like Sopranos was. Like I feel like Sopranos was like, well, fuck, if we could explore characters in this depth over 3 hours of Godfather, imagine 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Sopranos is a movie made long.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Twin Peaks is like, imagine if we got someone as interesting as this David Lynch guy and we got him to work on essentially a soap.
Very cool.
That's my thing about...
I do need to get into Twin Peaks.
You only need to watch 1.5 seasons because then it goes...
Do you know what 90s show I thought of today?
Can I guess?
Yep, but I'll tell you. A 90s show that I thought of today that I have not thought of in forever.
Okay.
I definitely watched episodes, but I remember nothing about it and I really want to rewatch. You can ask me 3 questions.
Is it a drama?
Yeah.
Does it have any kind of supernatural element?
No.
Is it teen? Teen drama?
I'm going to say yes.
Is it about teenagers?
Yes.
90s. I want to say Dawson's Creek.
Same vein, but earlier.
Earlier. Not 90210?
No, around that time.
What was the other one? There was another one. Fuck.
It's not Melrose Place.
Those are the only ones I can think of.
Teens.
Nah.
Think Neve Campbell.
Oh! And Party of Five.
Yes.
Do you know they made a new Party of Five?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they rebooted it, and it was about the parent. It was the parents were like maybe Mexican or Salvadorian, or like they were South American, I think. And ICE comes and takes the parents and sends them back to South America.
Jesus.
And then the kids who have lived their whole life in America get to stay, but the parents have gone to South America, which is a really interesting way to reboot that show.
Yes, it is. Because isn't the premise of Party of Five that they're all siblings and the parents are dead?
Yeah. But this one is the parents have been sent back. So the parents are still alive, but they're in another country and they can't come in. Which I think is a really, like I go... Yeah, yeah, that's a way to do a reboot.
Yeah, I can see. Like, just did that not do well, that reboot?
No, I don't think.
Well, Party of Five was really popular, and I really want to watch it again because I feel like that came out in 1994, and I was six.
Did it?
Yeah, I was six when that show came out. And I remember my sister, who was 8 or 9 at the time, watched it a bit, but also not hugely because she was also a bit young for it.
Yeah.
But I just remember it being around and it was in all the TV Hits magazines.
It's an older sister kind of show. It
was when TV Hits was a thing.
Yeah.
Party of Five was on the cover all the time. TV and, Dolly magazine loved Party of Five.
It's why the cast of Scream and Scream 2 is brilliant, because they were just like, we can't get like movie people, because like that was the era of like, you know, they were lucky to get Drew Barrymore.
Well, that was Drew Barrymore's first role after Rehab and stuff, wasn't it?
Do you know that Drew Barrymore was originally going to play Nev Campbell's part?
I did know that.
And then she had commitments, so then they moved. But I think it's so much better for...
It's iconic. Her role is iconic.
It's up there with Psycho in terms of like, what?
Yeah.
Could you imagine watching that film
for the first time and not knowing anything?
Thinking Drew Barrymore's going to be a lead
and
then that happens, you'd just be like, holy fuck, what am I in for?
So sick. Good.
But part of the genius was like they were like, because horrors up until that point had like B-list, like actors with no name actors, right? But they were like, well, we can't get Hollywood actors. We can't get the movie actors. Let's just get people that are big from TV.
Yeah.
And they have their profiles. Teenagers love those actors. They're keen to get into movies because TV was a bit dirty then. And that's the whole show is like TV people.
So good. We should probably talk about ER.
How about Serena Williams? So here's my thing, right? I saw Serena Williams in the opening titles. I saw her name and I'm like...
Oh, I missed it.
So, and I was like, what is Serena Williams? It was like, first thought was, is that an actress with unfortunately has the same name as the most famous tennis player, one of the most famous tennis players of all time?
Mm.
And then I was like, or is Serena Williams a really big ER fan? I thought maybe ER was like really big at the time, which it was, you know, and I thought maybe Serena Williams is a big ER fan and it's just like a cute little cameo.
No.
So I was sitting here, I just went on this really weird journey where I was like, I'm thinking this is going to be like, you know, like all those shows, Serena Williams wants to be in it, we'll just have her be a cute little, like bom-ba-dom story, like... Mm-hmm. This tennis person, or like, you know, nothing too challenging. So here I am expecting at some point there's going to be a patient with a cute little story. And really it was just an opportunity for Serena Williams, who's a big fan, to do a cameo on a show she likes. We're in the middle of a burning fucking fire. Like, we've got an aeroplane in the middle of the streets of Chicago. And then Serena Williams, tennis star, runs up and it's like, my baby's in a building, it's on fire.
And she's got a daughter with her who's screaming. She's like, got blood on her.
You have to say, and I'm like, oh.
She's acting.
She's really going for it.
Yeah. Now, I didn't notice that Serena Williams was in the opening title.
Yeah. So what was your journey?
I looked at her and I went, where do I know her? I was like, I know her from somewhere. And I was like, she's not an actor, though. Where do I know? And I was like, how am I going to find who this random... So I found it, and you can find anything on the interwebs.
The internet is amazing.
And then it was like, it's Serena Williams. I was like, shut the fuck up. That is Serena Williams. But then I looked up, I'm like, why is she doing ER?
Oh, I was hoping she's acting. You'd have an answer.
And it turns out she's done bit parts in a lot of stuff.
So like, she wanted...
not a lot, but I mean, she was in My Wife and Kids. She was in Law and Order. She did an episode of that where she played a character named Chloe. She was also in Avatar The Last Airbender TV series and Drop Dead Diva.
Wow.
And Ocean's 8, where she played herself. But previous to that, like, she'd done little acting bit parts, which is fascinating.
So Serena Williams wanted to be an actor.
But also in 2005, she was probably doing a lot of tennis. Like, I don't know a lot of, but she would have been like a tennis star, right? Yeah. Like, I know she'd been doing tennis for a long time, but 2005, she would have been like still smashing it.
Yeah.
But it looks like Serena Williams enjoys acting.
Yeah.
And holds up. Like, she did good. Like, she wasn't. Fine. She was fine.
She was solid enough.
Yeah, she wasn't like, oh, that's a person who's trying to act. They've gotten in a famous person. They're not very good at what they're doing.
She also wasn't like, like, it was just like.
She got a little bit part. Yeah.
It was so fucking distracting.
Yes, it was. That's the right word. Because there was so much going on, and the drama of ER is just so thick. And then Serena Williams comes out just acting her little titties off.
It was an odd episode as well. Like, it's, I feel like, strange. It was one of those things where if this episode was in isolation, if this was the only thing that happened, I'll give them the pass. Mm-hmm. But, like, the fact that this is, like, in the middle, like, not even the middle, like, a third of the way into a season. It's not a season finale.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's just, like, a plane crashes in the middle of Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big event.
That's a massive event.
Like, the episode before was about a pretty full-on sort of thing, but it's like that would happen every couple of weeks in a hospital in a major city. You'd have interesting, complex stories. You wouldn't have an aeroplane crash in the middle of Chicago very often.
Yeah.
And then I was reading, apparently there was a helicopter crash one season before.
That's so funny. They love an aeroplane crash in medical dramas.
Yeah.
They do really, really enjoy that. This particular episode, for anyone who's playing along at home, was written by someone named Virgil Williams, who writes for Criminal Minds quite a bit, just so you know. They produced that. They produced the episode. It was written by someone named Joe Sachs, who in CIS Los Angeles... loves it.
There's definitely a layer as well. Like, there was a funny bit in this one because it's such a, like, I feel like a crash in the middle of a city is like weeks of like, what does this mean for the city?
Yeah.
I feel like it would be intense, off the wall. Like, the ER would be fucked for days.
Days.
The hospital would be
the fucked. Long-term effects of this.
Yeah.
On the economy.
Yeah, like on the vibe of people.
Yeah.
Like what I don't think we ever got to why the plane blew up.
No. They threw terrorists out there at one point.
But like there was never any, which, and I don't know if that was because it was terrorism and they didn't want to be tasteless or if like they just didn't bother getting to that, right? And I was like, wow, this is like a game changer. But then like at the end of the episode, like there was just this like cute little scene between Liar Liar and Practical Magic where they were like, oh, tough day. Anyway, I like you. And he's like, oh, stop it. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
There was some weird moments in that. An airplane
crashed in the middle of fucking Chicago.
We came off the end of last week's episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and have a listen.
Oh, unless you listen to the trigger warning, then that's why you didn't listen. That's cool. Yeah, that's fine.
That was full drama, very heavy.
And very this real. One, very real.
Yeah, this. So I came in going, wow, they really fucking pump up the drama. And there was, and real, real. And I was like, cool. I went to watch it and they still had it because there's a big fucking plane crash in Chicago. But they're like, okay, well, let's take the Shane West and 14-year-old Kat Dennings story and turn it back into the bum, 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 bum story.
Because Kat Dennings like
comes, is now in love with Shane West.
And she's like, oh, come on, let's go on a secret date. And he's like, are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Yeah, and she's like, but I love you. And she like calls after him and he's like, oh, this is so embarrassing.
With the tone of like, I'm busy with the plane crash. Yeah.
It's like, oh, like it's just very funny. I'm really interested to know what happens with that Shane West and Kat Dennings storyline because I would love to think that one day the ER is just like inundated with cops that take him away. And then they truly address what it is he did to that poor Kat Dennings. Anyway.
So full on.
So that was also like a little element. Was Johnny in this one that much?
He was at the triage and it was just sort of the tension between Johnny and
Practical Magic.
Practical Magic was I don't think he had much else. Like,
I'm also gathering that he's quite fond of, not like on a professional level, of Bend It Like Beckham, because she came in with her hand inside someone's chest and he was like, that's amazing what you've done here.
She did some, yeah, that was cool.
That was full on. It was a full on episode for Bend It Like Beckham because, oh, aside, Bend It Like Beckham has a husband who's also a doctor in Iraq for the army. Yeah. But Uncle Jesse from Full House. Fancies himself a bit of Bend It Like Beckham.
And he's cute. So,
oh, he's so cute.
So because he's cute, it's cute. The way he just does not let her
say no.
It's just this unrelenting. So she'll come to work and he'll just be like,
"Go out for dinner."
And she says no. And he's like, "What about this?" She goes no. He teases her. He. I don't think he's ever talking to her about her work.
Mm. He doesn't know anything about her.
But it's 2005, and it's John Stamos.
Yeah.
So it's all,
and so the audience is probably just like, "Oh, come on, Bend It Like Beckham."
And she's always like got a little smile,
yeah,
and it's very funny.
I'm married,
because like from our perspective, it's just like, "Hey, she said no, and she'll be taking you to HR if you keep up with this."
She's great in this, though.
Yeah,
like she's pretty fucking phenomenal in this show.
But this episode is what I will say is. It sold me as, like, I want to watch all of ER.
Mm.
It also sold me and it got a bit silly by season 12.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was silly early on. I don't think
there are very many shows on any genre that can last up to 12 seasons without getting a bit fucked.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't many. If you think of any show that's kind of gone beyond the season 8 point, it always gets a little bit silly. It
gets a little wobbly.
A little wobbly. Like, I always think of The Nanny.
Yeah.
Right? The Nanny, to me, was such a fucking brilliant sitcom. Like, so funny. Fran Drescher, it was a very, like, one of, like, a big, that show really kind of changed my perception on comedy and stuff like that as a little kid. Like, yeah. I thought she was so funny. And the whole thing that made that show so fucking great was this amazing relationship between Fran Drescher's character, Fran Fine, and Mr. Sheffield.
Yeah.
And it was the tension, this like very I Love Lucy or whatever, but like that sexual tension between a boss and the nanny. And she was this like really vivacious, fun, loving, full of life, you know, from Queens. And he was this upper class, hardworking, stern English guy. And when the show went to shit was when they got married and because when they became a relationship, because the show's over, like, well, then the show's over. Then
it becomes the wife.
Yes. And that whole, like, and anyway, I think with medical dramas, there's a certain point where it does push to silly. You get your musical episodes. You get your plane crash in the middle of Chicago.
Do you know what it is with a medical drama? I think a medical drama can do one, like, earth-shattering event. At the hospital.
A season?
Full stop.
Wow.
Then, from the second one on, that's when it goes silly.
I think with medical dramas, you get one a season.
Okay.
And the reason is because medical dramas are meant to be a little bit heightened and a bit silly. They're not meant to be uber realistic.
Well, but I think ER is.
Okay.
But I think, like...
Yeah, you're not going to get a musical episode in ER.
No. But I think, like... So I think that... and I should be clear here. I don't necessarily even think this plane crash counts as one. It's close to one. I think it is one because it's in the city, right? But I think, you talk about the musical episode a lot. Isn't there like a mass shooting that happens at the hospital?
A man comes in with a gun and shoots a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of like regular characters on Grey's Anatomy.
Like a mass shooting? Yeah. Like you can only do that and nothing else. You can't do a hospital that has had a mass shooting and like a boating.
And a bomb.
And a bomb? Like they had a bomb? Did they have a bomb?
There was this amazing episode, I think, in like season 2 or something, where a guy has a bomb in his chest and Christina Ricci is holding that bomb.
Yeah.
And McDreamy, I think, says to Christina Ricci, if you let go of that bomb is going to detonate. Episode, yeah. And then Christina Ricci spends the entire episode freaking out and then finally just goes, I can't do this, and lets go of the bomb. But Meredith Grey has grabbed the bomb before she has. So Meredith Grey is now holding the bomb. And that's McDreamy's love interest.
Yeah.
And she is now holding this bomb that if she lets go, it's going to detonate. It's a very good episode to tell. It is supremely entertaining.
That's the only time. You can't then do a mass shooting.
Why?
Because that's when it gets silly.
But what's wrong with it being a bit silly?
Great. Then it's a bit silly. It just becomes a different thing. If you don't want your show, if you don't want your show to be a bit silly, because I know Grey's Anatomy is a bit silly now, but when it started, I don't think it was a bit silly. Mm. It had Sandra Oh in it from Sideways, for God's sake.
Yeah.
It was it wasn't silly. It was like a, it wasn't ER, like it wasn't gritty, but it was kind of the idea of, I think of it was like.
This is how a hospital operates.
And this is what it is to be a young doctor.
Mm.
Although there was that very funny, remember Scrubs? There's this very funny bit in Scrubs, whatever our thoughts are on Scrubs. There was this very funny bit in Scrubs where, in later Scrubs where they were like, he was like, hey, do you want to go do this? And she's like, oh yeah, but I have to be finished by 8:30 because I really want to get home to watch, Grey's Anatomy. And he's like, oh, I love that show. And she's like, yeah, it's like they took our lives and put it on TV.
Sorry, with this Scrubs thing, it's dated for sure and it's not great.
But that's a good dig.
Yeah. But there are some things that came out of Scrubs that were very funny.
Yeah.
I also say that Dreaming of You by The Coral, which is a song that played when, what the fuck was Zach Braff's character? Zach Braff hooks up with girl from Roseanne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that song plays. And it's a fucking good song. And it was my ringtone.
Oh.
Dreaming of You by The Coral was my ringtone for a while.
No, I loved Scrubs. And I loved that dig. I thought that's
very funny.
It was very, very sharp.
Do you remember
the
Brendan Fraser episode of Scrubs?
No.
I cried in that.
Oh, my God. I'll watch that. Sounds great.
Do people not like Scrubs because it's a bit crook now?
No, everything's crook.
So why don't people like Scrubs?
I think they find it a little twee. Like, it's a little like, what at the time felt like a really bold, bold blending of drama and comedy. We've seen things that do it a lot more.
Oh, who cares then? Scrubs was fine.
I think it's a little like I would. I'm not saying this is the criticism. I haven't watched Scrubs in 10 years, but I think the criticism is that it's a little cloying. What at the time seemed like, oh, this show is really funny, but then also really serious. In hindsight, it's closer to like that Full House. It's a comedy, but it sometimes moralizes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is how people, that's the criticism.
Okay.
Hey, but if you're Zach Braff and you're listening right now, I think your girlfriend is really cool and I want to hang out with her. So,
well, no, you're closer in age to his girlfriend than he is. So
let's stop throwing shade at Zach Braff because I want to be friends with her sometime. So let's. Just in case it ever gets back to Zach Braff. She just seems really cool.
She just seems really fucking cool.
I want to be friends with her, and if that means being friends with Zach Braff.
She's probably really mature for her age. anyway, I was never a diehard Scrubs fan, but like.
You love Scrubs. You remember when before I was like, oh, it doesn't hold up, and you were like, I love it, and I hate that everyone says it's problematic. That's what you said.
That's not what happened.
I could play it back. You were like,
Tom. No, Tom,
no,
go back.
No, don't play it back because people have just listened to it and they know the joke I'm doing.
No, that's fine. Tom, play back what just happened.
That's very repetitive. That's going to lose listeners. Tom, don't do that.
Okay, Tom, don't do that.
Tom, if you've done it, cut it out now.
Yeah, you can cut it now.
I'm joking, Mish, but here's the joke. You were like, I was like, I think Scrubs doesn't like hold up according to some people. And you're like, oh, is that because they think it's problematic? Oh, you can't say anything anymore.
Mm.
And that's what you said.
The PC police.
And then you said, I love Ben Shapiro.
I said, I love Ventura. I hate women.
You're like, yeah, and I love Milo Yiannopoulos.
And I think hunting is for everyone.
Okay. You didn't say that. Why are you saying that now?
I just thought I should reveal my true self.
Yeah, that's the real Mish.
How hot is Ben Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro is so funny. If you ever want to laugh, I think I've recommended this on this podcast before. Go watch Ben Shapiro getting interviewed by the BBC.
Yeah, oh, it's so funny.
Oh, good, 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 good.
I fell into a big, deep Ben Shapiro hole and I never got out. I love him.
You love.
I love Mish Ben Wittrup Shapiro.
Loves Ben Shapiro.
And I also want to throw it out there. I'm still totally loving Third Rock from the Sun in ER. I love Third Rock from the Sun in ER.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. But also, how good was Third Rock from the Sun?
I can't remember it.
John Lithgow, who is a brilliant actor. Yeah. That would have been a very, very good podcast person we could have done, John Lithgow.
Yeah, a little obvious.
I don't think so. We would have had to watch a lot of Dexter.
He was only in one season.
Oh, yeah, we would have only had to watch one season of Dexter. But we could have watched Footloose.
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 Footloose. We were going to do a quick podcast and we're 50 minutes in.
All right, well, let's stop.
It's very funny though, because like we were going to do a quick podcast and we're 50 minutes in. And usually if we were going to do a quick podcast and we're 50 minutes in, it's because there's like
we've talked about nothing.
We're riffing, you know.
Can you remember anything we've talked about today?
Literally when I realized we were 50 minutes in, it was because I was looking at the clock like, we're singing Footloose. Like, I don't care how far in we are, we got to wrap this up. And we've gone over.
This one goes back to 3.5 Leguistamos for me.
Wow. Oh, my God. Whiplash. You've gone straight to the star. I'm sorry, everyone. This is a rough one.
I'm giving it 3.5 Leguistamos. Last week it got 4. It just loses one because we didn't get as much of the legs and there wasn't a lot of complexity to what he was doing in this episode.
Mish, I give it 3.5 Leguistamos as well. I thought it was a great, fun episode. I loved Serena Williams. I keep going to say Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez was not in this.
No, she would have been too young to be in this. Mm. She would have only been like 13 at the time.
Yeah.
No, Selena Gomez.
Oh, if this was it, we were giving it Starina Williams's.
Starina Williams's.
Got him 5.
This is I would say like a really good game of tennis would be like a 5-starinas.
No, but this gets 5-starinas.
I give it 3.5-starinas.
Nah, 5-starinas for me.
But I give it 3.5 Johns. It was a great episode of television. Very compelling. It stretched the credulity a little bit. I don't know why she was in the ambulance. I don't know why she went in to the burning building.
You okay? Zach's choking.
I just choked on my own spit.
Okay, on that happy note, Zach... I'll see you later, mate. Tom, can you please play the theme music for Party of Five? That's what I want to hear. And everybody, have a great week and stay out of that ER.
See you next ER.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.